To know the love of Christ, which passeth understanding. That was a beautiful song. It's a real, I trust we were singing that from the heart. I believe we were. It was a blessing to hear the singing. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again today. It's like's been mentioned, a little bit different maybe what we're used to. Maybe some of us are sitting here barely awake. Maybe some of you are all rested up and ready to go. You know, some of you have met here a lot in the last 3 weeks. And we've heard a lot of good things. We heard a lot about the Word of God. Lamentations 3:22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." You know, sometimes we don't like to hear that. Maybe it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. But you know, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. If we go back into the account in Genesis, I believe it's the second or third chapter there, after Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, you know, they were hiding from God. They knew that they had done wrong. And if you've been to the Creation Museum, you know, they have a little area in there that, to the best of their imagination, just gives a little display of how it might have been in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve hiding back there in the corner in the trees. And it says they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. I'm not sure how that all is. I didn't spend a lot of time on that, how they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. But it says the Lord called out for Adam. He said, "Where art thou?" You know, so you think of those words. Think of the situation. You know, where does your mind go? How do you hear those words? "Where art thou?" What do you think Adam and Eve heard? I believe those words were spoken with compassion, with a heart that was heavy, and for a lot of different reasons. There was a lot more to it than just some fruit that was missing from that tree. It was because of the consequences. You know, this beautiful place was soiled. This beautiful garden, it was broken. And the only remedy for this situation was a supreme sacrifice. I want to think a little bit here this morning, for a few minutes, of a verse that probably is most widely known verse, memorized verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Those are beautiful words. They encompass so much. It's just everything's covered in those words. You know, the breadth of God so loved the world, the length that he gave his only begotten Son, the depth that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, and the height but shall have everlasting life. You know, as we stand in awe of this great love, does it overwhelm us? Does it bring it to our knees? Does that fire burn within us? You know, do we have the passion that those disciples had? I didn't know where the Sunday school lesson was this morning. I hadn't really followed up there. But they had some verses in there, Jesus' mission statement. I want to read them out of Luke 4. Those of us in Bible school class, we memorize this. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Here Jesus came back to Nazareth. He went to the synagogue on that Sabbath day, as the custom was. And if I understand right, the custom was they would give the scroll to worthy people to read some. And he had that opportunity given to him to read. Whether he asked for this particular scroll or whether it was just the one that was given to Jesus, you know, we're not told. But we know it wasn't a chance happening. This group was paying attention. They remembered. They heard stories about this young man. They wondered. They were spellbound, I believe, as they listened to those words. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Now they could have said that in different ways, but if we read it in the context, I think they were saying, you know, who does he think he is? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? And then he goes on to explain himself. And they were filled with wrath. They attempted to kill him. They chased him. They took him out. And they were going to throw him over the brow of a hill. You know, they rejected this great love. This all-encompassing love. They were worried about their own little kingdom. Their own little... he wasn't following the criteria. He didn't meet the criteria, what they thought he should be doing, what their Messiah, the Messiah they were looking for. They didn't want to see the Gentiles reached. We look back and we say, how narrow-minded. What a shame. What a lost opportunity. You know, what am I doing with the opportunities that I have? What are you? You know, put your own name in here. Doing with the opportunities you have. Am I Murray? Am I a little Christ? Are you a little Christ? Like the word Christian originally meant. But you know, I looked it up in the dictionary this morning. And I don't know what some of your other dictionaries would say. This is a dictionary that I have on my phone. I looked it up and I couldn't believe what the definition of Christian: clean, conscientious, correct, decent, elevated, fair, fitting, good, high-principled, honest, honorable, humane, just, kosher, moralistic, noble, proper, respectable, straight, true blue, upstanding. Well, that's all good. But is that Christian? Is that what Christian means to you, to me? It doesn't say anything about being little Christ or following the example of Christ. You know, in today's language, the meaning has changed. But I looked up disciple, and I don't think that has changed nearly so much. Disciple, a person who is a pupil or an adherent of the doctrines of another, a follower. You know, am I, are you a Christian defined by today's dictionary definition? Or am I, are you a disciple defined by the way it's defined by today's dictionary? Is it your desire to follow? Are you following Christ? Is it your desire to spread the good news? You know, to show everyone by your walk of life what's important to you? You know, just because the definition hasn't changed doesn't mean the word Christian has changed. It doesn't change Christ's mission statement. and his desire to reach all mankind, his desire to have his disciples spreading his love and telling others about him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. There's a, you know, this verse is so simple, a child can understand it. It's been said that it condenses the marvelous truths of redemption into these few words. God, you know, the Bible says God is love. That's the greatest love. So loved. The greatest degree of love. The world. The greatest number. That he gave. The greatest act. His only begotten Son. The greatest gift. That whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest person, should not perish, the greatest deliverance. You know, there in the garden, Adam and Eve deserved to die. They had sinned. We all deserve. That's what we've got coming. But it says, should not perish, the greatest deliverance. But the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't those beautiful words? I had to think, when I think of what a difference that word but can make. Go to the book of Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before thee again this morning. Lord, we just want to thank you again for your great love. Thank you for your word and the promises you have given us and the way, the provision you have made for all mankind. We just thank you again for this privilege of coming together, being able to come together like this. The freedoms we have, Lord, just so many blessings you've given us. We just pray for those that are being persecuted for your name's sake, that are struggling and don't know what the day will bring. We just pray that you might comfort, strengthen, and pray that your word might go forth in strength and in power today, that souls might be reached for you. Just help us, Lord, to have a passion, the same burning desire that you gave to your disciples to spread your word. We just want to commit this service to you. Bless Brother Steve as he brings a message. Lord, just anoint his lips, give him words to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.